Could you introduce yourself?
My name is Ernie Atencio. I'm the executive director of Taos Land Trust and also the chairman of the board of directors of the Kivira Coalition.
Okay. I wanted to ask if you could talk about, because I know some people, like Land Trust, I've heard from people in the South, they haven't said really good things about it. So I'm wondering, could you explain what the Land Trust is and what you do with that?
Right. Well, Taos Land Trust is one of about 1,600 land trusts across the country. And primarily what we do is help people permanently protect land from development. And it's an approach that's been used for over 100 years. Back in the 70s, it got much busier because at that time, IRS passed some, or Congress passed some new laws, and IRS made some new rules that allowed people to take tax deductions for retiring development rights on their land. And that's when land trusts like ours started going. Taos Land Trust has been around since 1988. And in this area, we feel like some of the most important land that we ought to be protecting is the irrigated farmland and any productive agricultural land for that matter, even rangeland for grass-fed beef or whatever else you have. And oftentimes, particularly the irrigated land, is the land that is disappearing the quickest. That's the most attractive. It's green, it's verdant, it's got shade trees, and that's where people want to build their homes. So that's what we're up against. It's a tiny percentage of the land mass in Taos County, but it's being developed more quickly than anything else. We work with landowners to permanently retire development rights. It's completely voluntary. They retire only what they want to. They can continue working the land, farming it, grazing it. If they've got timber, they can continue sustainable timber harvest. But whatever they choose to retire, they do so in a conservation easement that's a permanent restriction on the property, no matter who owns it in the future. So, in a nutshell, that's what the Land Trust does.
Okay, and why? Could you explain why people are against it?
Well, some people have some people feel like this is part of an insidious conspiracy plot to take over private property rights and eventually to take over property ownership. However, I know a lot of folks involved in the agricultural community, in the ranching community, who are very, very supportive of conservation easements and land trusts. In fact, in Colorado, there is a statewide Colorado Cattlemen's Land Trust that works exclusively with ranchers from around Colorado. In New Mexico, we don't have a statewide, but there is one organization, the Southern Rockies Agricultural Land Trust, which is operated by ranchers for small family ranches. And their response to this is, well, if it's my private property, I've got a right to protect it through a conservation easement, and that's another sort of private property right.
And do you have any numbers as far as how much agricultural land is being transferred to development?
I don't have numbers in terms of acreage, but I do know that in the last 10 years or so, nationwide, there's been an 18% reduction in the number of farms. And that doesn't necessarily translate directly into acreage, but an 18% reduction in the number of farms. In Taos County, it's been a 29% reduction in the number of farms. And that could mean a lot of things. I mean, maybe the land is still there and open and undeveloped, but people have just stopped farming it. But nonetheless, that economy is dwindling. We just think it's absolutely critical, even if people aren't going to farm the land right now, to at least protect it, to keep that potential for the future. As a friend of mine likes to say, asphalt is your last crop. So once you make that decision to pave it over and develop it, there's no going back. So we're just trying to work with people to save it for now so that we have that potential in the future.
Could you, I think we all know why agriculture has kind of declined, just with the fast-paced life we all live. We have to pay bills, we have to work more than we have to farm. It's not as profitable for smaller farmers. But can you explain, could you explain how people kind of, is there a way to explain the process of getting out of agriculture, or why people stopped farming
I'm not sure about all those dynamics specifically. I haven't looked into that in a lot of detail, but I think it probably has a lot to do with the subsidized commodity food production system in this country that, in this totally ridiculous way, makes it cheaper to buy food that's produced in some distant place and trucked halfway across the continent to our grocery store. It's cheaper to buy that food than to buy your neighbor's food that they grew on their own field. So that might be part of it. The way the system is, the way the agricultural system in this country works, it favors the large industrial scale producers, not the small local producers. They're the ones who qualify for all the federal subsidies. So that's, I'm sure you'll talk to somebody else who knows more about that, but it seems to me that has a lot to do with it. However, here in Taos and in a lot of other areas, people are learning how to add value to their local agricultural products. We, the Taos Land Trust, is involved in a collaboration with the Taos County Economic Development Corporation and Taos Valley Aseki Association called De la Tierra a la Cosecha, or From Earth to Harvest, with the idea that we're putting together all our tools and expertise from our three organizations to help people stay on the land, keep the land permanently protected from development and open, and use the water efficiently and appropriately to grow valuable crops so that people can make a living and then market that stuff through TCEDC's value-added programs. They have a bunch of classes that they offer there at TCEDC. They have a commercial kitchen where you can take your produce or whatever you have that you've grown, mostly agriculturally oriented stuff, and you can cook and package and market and ship the stuff right out of their commercial kitchen there. And now they've expanded the whole operation with the Mobile Matanza, which is a mobile livestock slaughter unit, which has been state certified and inspected, can go to small ranches and farms around the area and slaughter animals there. They'll take it back to the shop and hang and age and cut and wrap it there. And then this can be marketed directly to restaurants and stores throughout the area. So these are ways that people can add value. It's kind of an overused phrase these days, is value added. But that's what it does. It adds value. People can get a premium for it when they sell it. And that's a huge incentive for people to stay on the land. So that's why we've gotten involved in this, because conservation easements and permanent protection of land, they can only do so much. Like I said, we can't compel anybody to farm their land, but we just want to at least protect that potential. But in this partnership with these other two organizations, we're really helping trying to foster a local food-based economy for people who want to participate in that.
And are you working with anybody state on a state level? Or do you know of other programs or communities where people are trying to do similar things?
There are a number of other programs around the state, and I think very appropriately, these are mostly locally based. There's something in Santa Fe that's working around that area and up as far as Española, and others, I'm sure. I'm just not real familiar with them.
Could you talk about, from your piece, Land and Culture? You had explained that New Mexico is still one of the poorest states and with the highest rate of food insecurity. Do you want me to give you a chance to take a bite?
No, it's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
So why, can you explain that and why that is?
Well, this is a term that's used in different ways, food security, food insecurity. The statistic that I cite in that report of Land and Culture is from a federal study that takes place every year that talks about what percentage of people are food insecure, meaning they don't get quite enough food to eat every day, or they don't feel 100% confident that they're going to have enough food to eat that day. It's, you know, what it says, it's a sense of insecurity about your food and not getting quite enough to eat. And there is I forget the statistic now, it's been a while, but I think there's close to a 20 or 25% rate among school-aged children of food insecurity in New Mexico, which is really shocking in the wealthiest nation in the history of the planet. When we talk, on the other hand, the flip side of that, we talk about food security, it's not quite the same context, because we're talking about being able to grow enough food locally to feed the local community. So there's some obvious connections there, but it's not coming from the same federal definition of food insecurity, food security. This is just simply about growing enough food so we can feed ourselves without having to rely on long, expensive, fossil fuel-based supply lines to get our food to us from Chile and California and wherever else it's coming from.
Okay. And that's really interesting that there's so much, that we are still a poor state when there's so much money coming in with mm-hmm. people building their second homes here and tourism and...
Right.
But nobody, how has that affected? Just as far as development, that type of development, how has that affected agriculture and land and taxes? What has that done to...
Well, it has had, definitely has had an impact. And it's part of what we are facing every day in terms of trying to do our land conservation work, because property values are just skyrocketing. Taos is in one of those weird real estate bubbles, and values continue to climb at pretty high rates, and they don't seem to be slowing down a lot. Some realtors might be complaining about it, but as far as I can tell, it's still increasing. So as property values increase, a lot of the local community people who might be rich in land but cash poor, they may not have a lot of other opportunities. They don't have options in terms of making money. They don't have access to other capital. They don't have other investments. They've got their land. So when it comes time to send the kids to college or other financial needs, the only asset they have to fall back on is the land. And it must be very tempting. So I don't fault people for choosing to sell their land, but it's that land that's being developed. I forgot. I had another thought, but I lost it. Anyway.
Can you kind of explain how Taos Land Trust, do they get involved in, not just when the land is sitting, is waiting, but if somebody needs to, is there anything that Taos Land Trust does or can do for that situation? If somebody...
Yeah, I was going to say, to finish the thought that mm-hmm. just slipped my mind, one thing that happens... One of the tax benefits from placing a conservation easement on your land is that it reduces estate taxes or inheritance taxes when the elders pass on. And oftentimes, with a decent-sized piece of land, the estate tax is going to be 45% of the value of that property. And around here, with property values that are, over $100,000, $140,000 in some places, an acre, local families who don't have a lot of cash or income are not going to be able to pay that kind of estate tax bill. So what happens? They end up selling the land or selling half the land just to pay the estate tax bill. So that's part of the problem. If they plan ahead, and unfortunately it's the reality of the world we're living in right now with this government and this tax structure, if they plan ahead, they can eliminate most of that estate tax, and in a lot of cases they can eliminate all of it. Other benefits to the landowner include tax deductions. Of course, you need income to take advantage of the tax deduction. So for a lot of people, that's not an incentive. There is a New Mexico state tax credit. And again, you need income for that to take the credit. However, a new bill was passed this year that's going to go into effect in 2008, which says that landowners who qualify can take that tax credit for up to $250,000, and they can transfer it. They can sell it to somebody else who needs it. So if by creating a conservation easement, retiring development rights on your 40-acre pasture here in El Salto, for instance, If that gives you up to a $250,000 tax credit, you can sell that to somebody else for $200,000. So you have cash in hand, plus all the other benefits of knowing your land is permanently protected, having the estate tax protection in place from when it passes on to the heirs. Another approach that we haven't used much, but I'd like to be able to use it more, is actually purchasing development rights. And again, you say that and people bristle because they think it's some draconian government plot that we're going to just buy up all these development rights, but it's always strictly voluntary. So if somebody, the first impulse really should be conservation. That's what you care about first and foremost. Not tax deductions, not estate taxes. You care about your land for whatever reasons. You care about passing it on to your heirs intact and in one piece. And if that's the case, then I forgot again what I was talking about. Purchasing development rights. Again, I'll trust you to edit this part.
No, it's fine.
So, purchasing development rights. So, once you've made the decision that you want to permanently protect your land, there's this other approach that involves actually selling those development rights because they have monetary value. That's why you qualify for tax deductions, because you're giving up certain financial value in your land.
Could you explain what development rights are?
Okay, yeah, and one thing I have to say is that conservation easements are perpetually complicated and misunderstood, and a lot of people think that what land trusts do is we ask you to give us your land, but no. So in a nutshell, the process would work like this. You decide you don't ever want to see your land developed. Again, I'll use the example of a 40-acre pasture up here in El Salto, which is some of the most valuable land in Taos Valley right now. So you decide you never want to see that land developed. You come and talk with us, and we'll work with you to permanently retire development rights on that 40 acres through a document called a conservation easement. And if you've done this and it meets all the IRS criteria, then you qualify for all these tax incentives. And the way you figure out the value of the charitable contribution that you've made, the value of what you've given up on your land, is you have an appraiser do a before and after appraisal. So the before appraisal means full market appraisal, whatever the land is worth if you sell it on the open market right now today. And then the appraiser will look at the land with the development rights stripped off it and see what it's worth at that point. And the difference between the before and after is the value of your development rights.
Okay.
And that's what, again, it has financial value and qualifies you for these tax deductions and tax credits. But it's also something that you could sell. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of money, and most land trusts don't have that kind of money. There are some federal programs available. We used one of these once last year. It's already been 2 years ago now. We purchased development rights on a piece of property using the USDA Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program. And we've got another application in the works for this year on another property down here in Arroyo Hondo. And what that does is the federal government will provide, you do the same appraisal. So you come up with a certain figure, just we'll say, to keep it simple, we'll say it's $1 million. The federal government will provide half of that, $500,000. The landowner can donate up to 25%, and then the land trust has to raise the rest of the money. That wasn't a good example because we can't raise that much money. $250,000 would be a huge amount of money for us to raise. But that's an example of how it would work. So far, we've used this just once on a very small piece of land, and we're using it again on just a 14-acre pasture down the road. And there's a great option for people, again, who don't have the income to take advantage of the tax incentives, but they could use the cash. And they've accomplished the same thing with different financial benefit.
Okay. Can you give an idea of how much, what what the tax rate is like here, or just before, I mean, and I hope that I'm understanding right, but before the development right has been stripped, mm-hmm. Like, and there's an annual tax that you have to pay.
Yeah, you're talking about property tax.
The property tax, yeah. Like, and that goes down after you take the development right off, or no?
It does. So there are property taxes people have to pay, and you can get, if it's agricultural land in Taos County, you can get an agricultural exemption and keep it locked in at a lower rate. If it's residential or has the prospect of being developed as residential, you have to pay at a residential rate. In Taos County, the local appraiser has told us if he knows a property has a conservation easement on it, he will value it accordingly at a lower rate. So that helps with the annual property tax bill. But what I was talking about in terms of just the value of the land, mm-hmm. increasing the value of the land, it increases the property tax bill everybody has to pay every year, but also just creates this artificial inflation of the value of land that creates just a crazy market and all kinds of temptations to sell and develop and subdivide. And that's what's driving a lot of the development in this community.
Just a necessity in a way.